Welcome to Exotic Pets. I'm Tracy Hotchner, whom you may know as the dog and cat lady, but I'm wearing a different hat here. With the brilliant collaboration of my co-host, Dr. Doug Mader, the world-renowned veterinarian specializing in exotic animals, we are here to celebrate all the other pets that share people's lives. This show is for people interested in pets that slither, hop, creep, fly, or swim, from bunnies to iguanas, parrots to ferrets, snakes to tortoises. Dr. Doug is going to teach us the physical requirements of these exotic pets and how to manage the often challenging environments and correct diets essential to their welfare. Dr. Doug Mader is the author of the wonderful memoir, The Vet at Noah's Ark, Stories of Survival from an Inner City Animal Hospital. He is recognized worldwide as a veterinary specialist on exotics and is the author of four major veterinary textbooks on reptiles and amphibians. We are proud to have ZooMed Laboratories as the founding sponsor of Exotic Pets. ZooMed has earned its reputation as the number one reptile and amphibian supplier in the world from simple beginnings 45 years ago as a passion project for one man who still runs it. Renowned as the international leader in UVB and heat lighting, ZooMed manufactures all their reptile supplies, accessories, and tools in the U.S., which they test on their own collection of animals, which surround everyone at headquarters. We're also sponsored by Oxbow Animal Health, the one brand that has stood out for more than 30 years as the leader in health and wellness for small mammals. Veterinarians, rescues, and passionate pet parents worldwide trust Oxbow to support the health and happiness of their small pets. Oxbow provides for rabbits and guinea pigs, ferrets and chinchillas, hamsters and gerbils, mice and rats, because these small pets have big hearts and require special nutrition and care. Oxbow has everything needed for their best life, the right hay and nutritionally complete foods, treats and supplements, litter and bedding, and a whole line of enrichment products created so your little loved ones can chew, play, hide, and explore every day. We're also brought to you by the bird food specialist Zoopreme, which started with a revolutionary yet simple idea: provide exceptional diets for extraordinary animals. Best known as the bird nutrition specialist, Zoopreme creates many foods for birds of all sizes, and they also make a variety of treats to appeal to every sort of bird and enhance their lives. I am back with Dr. Micah Colas. He is so cool. Where small mammals are concerned, he is the man. Chief Veterinary Officer of Campana Brands that owns now Oxbow Animal Health, which is all about small mammals. Owns his own clinic, Woodland Animal Hospital. If you're lucky enough to be near there, he could be your very own vet. I'm jealous of you. And he's professor at the University of Nebraska. Dr. Colas, you know, one of the things that disturbs me, having been one of those kids who had rabbits and guinea pigs and hamsters, I didn't have chinchillas, but I didn't know anything about what to feed them. I mean, I think I pulled up some grass from the field and gave it to them along with their little nuggets of like rabbit food or guinea pig food.
Right.
But there's a lot of things that have been learned since I was a girl, and certainly a lot of products that have come along. But also there must be some real basics about what are the best ways to feed a rabbit, a guinea pig, and a chinchilla in a way that's correct for their metabolism and their digestive system.
Yeah, it's a paramount question. And again, you know, the soapbox you've heard me say before, Tracy, is nutrition is the single most important decision that any pet parent is going to make.
Yes.
It's more important than heartworm. It's more important than flea and tick. It's more important than even vaccines. We got to start with that. And that's especially true with our exotic companion mammals. I always tell my owners to stop for a minute and say, you know, if this rabbit was living in the wild, what would it be doing and what would it be eating?
Right.
Now, as a prey species, it would be running around trying not to die, which isn't really very good enrichment, right? But that's the reality. But they would be eating a massive diversity of different plant materials based on what Mother Nature is providing them. The challenge is that with all these pets we bring into captivity, and I say this with love, but nutritionally we screw them up. We can't emulate that perfect profile. But our goal And our gold standard should always be to think about that. So with our rabbits and our guinea pigs and chinchillas, which are all by definition what we call hindgut fermenters, that means they have bacteria that live in their hindgut, which is their cecum. That bacteria breaks down plant materials through a process called fermentation. So as much as we're going to talk about what to feed the rabbit, the guinea pig, we're really talking about what are we feeding the bacteria, because wow, it's the bacteria that break down fiber. That bacterial breakdown leads to a byproduct called volatile fatty acids, which is energy. Now, all of that is built on the shoulders of fiber. Fiber, fiber, fiber. And if you remember nothing else from this lecture, it's the bacteria that eat the fiber and ferment the fiber, and that's the way the train runs in a rabbit. So
yes,
it's really about fiber, and the bigger the diversity is of fiber that we can feed, the better off we're going to be. However, we know that with the fibers that we feed, you know, we always want grass hays to be available, timothy and orchard and oat and meadow hay, whatever the case would be, because not only do rabbits and guinea pigs eat and munch on hays all the time, but they're going to use it for bedding and for nesting material. So we want that available all the time. However, when we dry grass hays, which is the inevitable thing we do to package them, we lose some of those naturally occurring phytonutrients and vitamins. And that's why it's so important that in partnership with our free choice grass hays, we offer a controlled amount according to lifestyle, age, body condition, store, weight, so on and so forth, of a uniform high fiber pellet. And what I mean by uniform is none of these seed mixes or muesli mixes or the fruity pebbles of the rabbit's world, because rabbits are concentrate selectors, right? They're going to take and eat what every part of that that tastes good, and by selectively feeding, they're not getting balanced nutrition. So free choice high fiber hays, the bigger the diversity, the better. A controlled and age-appropriate amount of a uniform pellet, that is really the foundation upon which the nutrition for exotic companion mammals should be built.
Okay, so we know that in the dog and cat world, there are the kind of, let's just say, the average foods. I'm going to say dogs because they eat dry food, and I'm a very strong believer that cats are obligate carnivores. And guess what? It's not a belief system. It's a fact. And they should not be eating highly processed carbs or much fiber at all. They should just be eating lots of protein that's appropriate to them. So that's a conversation you and I could have all day long on a separate topic. But dogs can, right? Dogs can do fine with kibble. And there's the kibble that's used to be sold in Walmart or Tractor Supply. And then you go up the feeding chain to big box stores that have ones that are slightly fancier, and then even fancier ones until they're called super premium or like uber premium. Does it matter with rabbits, guinea pigs, and chinchillas? I'm asking this, and I know the answer has to be, of course, you have to feed the highest quality you can do.
Yeah.
And is that something that Oxbow makes? I mean, Oxbow's one of the sponsors of this show. And the reason that they are, and we want to work together, you, I, Oxbow, Dr. Doug, Zupreme, and Zoomed, is because the best companies, of which are few, not like in dog and cat where you can't even keep track of them. They're very few of the top ones. It does matter, right? Quality matters. I'm saying this because someone could find something maybe at Tractor Supply that's, I don't know, ground sawdust masquerading as a good rabbit pellet, for all I know. I don't know.
Again, you know, nutrition, again, is, I'm going to just beat the heck out of this, is the single most important decision. And, you know, we all live in a world that's chock full of fancy marketing. And and again, I don't want to sound anti-marketing, but I'm probably anti-marketing. The truth is really in not the marketing, it's in the ingredient panel.
Right.
And understanding what ingredients are in there, what role do they play, are they needed and are they not? And so, yes, we know that fiber is paramount, but there are so many other nutrients with vitamins and minerals that are essential for these guys. And the power of the product is really in the quality of the ingredients. We can all make up fancy marketing claims in a beautiful bag that's got a cute bunny on it, but do the ingredients really fall in line with what's nutritionally right for the animal? And that's not easy to do. You know, to your point, it's easy to stick a bunch of corn in a dog food bag and say it's full of protein.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it may have protein, but the quality of that protein sucks,
and
right?
Is it so bioavailable? Can it be used?
Correct.
I mean, someone could put a lot of fiber in a bunny or a chinchilla food, but if it's got to ferment in the hindgut, are the bacteria going to like that fiber? Are they going to go to town on it?
Well, and there's different types of fiber, and that's what's unique, whereas in the dog world, people use fiber because it's inexpensive and it's cheap. But in all reality, in rabbits and guinea pigs, that insoluble fiber that comes from plant material, the lignins and the hemicelluloses, it is really paramount to keeping that GI tract moving. Rabbits and guinea pigs can't vomit or regurgitate or burp like you and I, so they need that fiber to stimulate peristalsis, which keeps that entire GI tract moving. And most important, that's what keeps that ecosystem of the cecum, where the bacteria live, as stable and healthy as they can. So the bacteria are happy, and when the bacteria are happy and doing their job, they're fermenting those plant materials. So diversity of fiber types with insoluble versus soluble is essential in rabbit and guinea pigs. The biggest issue we can run into them nutritionally is when we feed too many simple sugars or simple carbohydrates.
Which is what we want to do, because it makes us think it's Bugs Bunny. Have a carrot.
That's right. But the unfortunate reality is, what's the best part of the carrot for the rabbit?
The green
it's
part.
It's the carrot top. Exactly. It's not the cute little carrots that come in the little bag that we buy at the grocery store. So it really does come down to the important role of those nutrients. And that's where you're going to really quickly see, if you educate yourself, you know, get beyond the marketing, right? Get beyond the bulleting points and the faculty packaging. Look at the ingredients, and that's where the real power and the performance of the product is really going
to
live.
Okay, so we're here, though, to tell people how to read an ingredient deck. I love calling it an ingredient deck. That's like lingo, guys, from animal nutrition. So you're looking at the deck. You're looking at the list on the back of what's in it. To some extent, I've always believed that if you trusted the company and you knew that company to be a high-minded, moral, ethical company, you don't have to get a minor degree in nutrition yourself to figure out what some of these ingredients mean. I mean, do you believe that too, to some extent? Where rabbits, chinchillas, and guinea pigs are concerned, not dogs and cats, because there's too much woo-woo going on there, too much obfuscation of what the words really are. I mean, if somebody went to Oxbow, could they just trust that it's all the science has been done, and it's been done morally and correctly?
Yeah, I mean, I think so, but obviously it's easy for me to say that. I would tell every consumer, just like I tell every veterinarian, do your own due diligence. Do your own reading and education, right? But there certainly does come a point where, when you know a brand and you trust a brand, you can have a belief that they have high standards. You know, I could put yogurt drops in a bag for rabbits and put an Oxbow brand on it and sell a bunch of them. But the entire time I would know, nutritionally, that's not in line with what I know is nutritionally correct for the animal.
Right.
And so there is always that trade-off of nutritional versus business decisions. But yes, if you know your brands, and again, I'm jaded, but that's why I still work at this company after 18 years, is we're not going to sacrifice that nutritional standard for a little margin and for a self. We continue to stay with what's right for the animal, and everything else from a business standpoint is going to work out. Now, let me answer the question you alluded to a second ago. When you look at ingredients, remember all ingredients are listed by order of inclusion. It's by percentage, right? So if the first ingredient is Timothy hay and the second ingredient is whatever, it's order of inclusion. Now, that's got a lot more relevance to your point, your dog and your cat world, where a lot of companies play that whole grain-free game. They use plant-based proteins instead of animal-based proteins. It's still important in the rabbit world, because we want to look at, where are we getting our fibers? What type of fibers are in there? So on and so forth.
And then when it's made by a company like Oxbow, and I'm not doing this as a blatant advertisement, I'm trying to help people to make good decisions that don't require them to bring their reading glasses or a magnifying glass to the pet store or online to see what is the ingredient, and then thinking, oh, wait, what did Dr. Micah say? I need Timothy, and then what other kind of hay?
Yep.
I think really it's great to know that Timothy hay is one of the varieties of hay, but isn't it greater to know there's a company that knows you need a mixture of them? When I used to be in the horse world, there were some horses that could eat alfalfa cubes, which is actually not a really nice way to feed horses. You know, they really need to eat real hay, but sometimes the quality wasn't available, or you lived in a state like California where it just, for one reason or another, they wound up feeding alfalfa cubes, but they're higher in protein, and some horses that was a problem, and you had to then find some place to bring in bales of Timothy hay. It wasn't simple or cheap. So I just want people to understand, it's not like you can go eeny, meeny, miny, mo, I'll take, you know, X amount of Timothy hay and I have ready access to it. The supply chain is complicated, right? I mean, to want to get a high quality hay, it has to have been grown well and properly as well, doesn't it?
It absolutely does. I mean, it's actually easy to grow grasses. Like, they grow just fine in a lot of places. But to get the quality characteristics and hay that you're looking for, not only the physical characteristics, you know, the color, the aroma, the yes. leaf to stem ratio, that type of thing, that's one factor. But again, remember, we're testing all of these hays for all of these common nutritional profiles to ensure that even though a hay may look beautiful and it's nice and green and it's nice, you know, good leaf to stem ratio, it has to have the right nutritional profile in terms of fibers, starches, sugars, and everything else to make sure that we're providing the right nutritional factors for the microbiome. So yes, we want dark, leafy, green hay, but we also want hay that we know has the right quality and nutritional characteristics, which is why we do so much analytical testing.
Which I admire. I think it's really important because rabbits and guinea pigs and chinchillas don't have the longest life. So if nutrition, as you and I both believe fervently, is the most important thing you can consider with your little guys, then their life surely will be of a healthier quality and a longer quality from feeding correctly. Just before we finish, what are the things that we can give from our fridge, or if you're lucky enough to have your own garden, what are the things we could give them, and should we give them every day along with the pellets and the hays?
Yeah, and let me just run through that kind of nutritional profile. We always know at the foundation is diversity of grass hays, always available. The bigger the diversity, the better. Then we talked about a controlled amount of pellets that's life stage appropriate, quality and amount appropriate, you know, roughly 15-20% of the overall diet in an adult rabbit, adult guinea pig. Then on top of that would be our dark leafy greens. You know, this would be that diversification. We really want to focus on the dark leafy greens, red leaf, green leaf, bib lettuce, Italian parsley, so on and so forth.
Wow.
Really minimizing the amount of vegetables. Yes, a little carrot from time to time is fine, a little green pepper, but really focusing on the dark leafies. Fruits should really be a tiny component of that overall profile. And then there's treats. And I always ask my owners, like, how many rabbits need treats to nutritionally survive? Well, it's like, how many human beings need stickers to survive, right? The answer is zero, but how many people are we going to convince of that? Zero. So treats, we have to remember, they're not about nutrition. They're about what? The human-animal bond, which
Correct.
Is this amazing
Correct.
Thing.
Yeah.
But we don't want to sacrifice the quality of nutrition for the feel-good, because it's not about them, it's about us. So if you're going to feed treats, make sure they're nutritionally appropriate. None of the synthetic colors, flavors, preservatives that don't belong in any of our foods, not to mention our pets' foods.
Well said.
And then last, and certainly not least, is hydration. We do not spend enough time talking about that. You know, rabbits in the wild, you know, they're not waking up and going to find their sipper bottle or their bowl, right? They're eating plant material that's 95%
Correct.
Moisture. So we want multiple sources of hydration available to them at all times. That's also the reason that in a perfect world, we're going to push their dark leafy greens to be 10, 15, sometimes even 20%
of
their overall diet if the munchkins can tolerate it, not only because it tastes good and it's got all those phytonutrients, but the hydration is a bonus on top of that.
That is all really fabulous. So, you know, just think of kale as a Snicker bar. Think of a dark leafy as something that is divinely delicious to your little guy, and you don't have to have any guilt. You're not giving Oreos to the kid, you know? You're giving like...
We should think that way ourselves.
Of course we should. And how many people love kale? Well,
some of
us do, but it's a learned behavior.
Acquired taste, we'll say.
Acquired for sure. What are the foods that they should never eat? As just to wrap it up, I'm sure that list is way longer. I mean,
yeah.
It's like anything you can think of that's sugary.
Well, number one, I'll reference back to the House Rabbit Society's website. They've got a great list of things that are avoidable. But in general, anything that's processed, anything that has the nasty stuff that we as humans do to our food. So anything that's processed, anything that's fried, anything that has added simple carbohydrates like glucose and dextrose, anything that's got artificial flavors, colors, preservatives, there is absolutely zero need nor room to include those types of ingredients in these animals' nutritional profiles.
And their little bodies are too delicate.
Amen.
You know, you're just throwing off their whole metabolic balance. So good that you're going to have very healthy rabbits, guinea pigs, and chinchillas, and your children who don't like leafy green vegetables will be so grateful. Give them to the rabbits and the guinea pigs.
That's right.
Thanks, Dr. Colas.
Right.
Dr. Doug Mader and I hope you've enjoyed this episode of Exotic Pets and our desire to educate and inspire you to give your exotics their best possible life. This show is brought to you by the wonderful companies that cater to the needs of exotic pets. From Zubed Laboratories, where they make everything you need to keep your reptiles and amphibians in tip-top shape, to Oxbow Animal Health, with health and wellness solutions for small mammals, and Zupreme, the company dedicated to your bird's nutrition. And if you haven't read Dr. Doug's book, The Vet at Noah's Ark, yet, do yourself a favor and pick up a copy.